So it's my first tutorial. I'm sorry that if I'm bad at them. Then this is Python 101, that there is a basis. So I know if you learn to run some like training stuff in Python, this is not a good place to program in the advanced one. So we start from scratch. And the first thing that I will need from you is to install Python. So does anybody have Python installed? Does anybody doesn't have Python installed? One, so two, okay. So if you need Python, what I can ask you is to go on the middle of the page. And then you can install one of those. So in the column Python 3.6, you can select one of the installers. And you can follow the install path. One of the things that we'll do also is I will pass this. You can take one. Then I have John also, which is at the back of the room there.
Hi.
And if you need anything, so we will be too. So I will try to manage from here. But then if you need something, you said to put your hands up or right like that. You can speak this on the front of your computer. And you can continue doing something if you have questions. Yeah. And you will come around, or I will come around depending on how it is doing. Okay. Let's go by to just standing hands. Okay. So you can take one and make it pass. Okay.
Can I just try to switch the light off to see if it's
yeah.
Is it better or better with the light or without light? Doesn't change much.
So then we work with some notebook and also some light coming out whatever. Regarding the notebook, you can find them on my repo. So either you can check here in GitHub, so I can show you how to go there. So you can go in GitHub. Working for me as well. Okay, is it only me or other people can get it? It's only me. Okay, great. Because the idea was that you can go, okay, that's it.
No, I don't have it wrong, but I mean, it doesn't matter because I'll be helping you on the.
So what we can do is just I will show the notebook and then we write like programming or program at the same time, so we will do all the notebook one by one if we cannot download them. Okay. If at some point we get internet, that would be good. Anyway, if you come back to GitHub, you will have this repo which is the element you assign back, and then you will have a list of notebooks. I know if you have time to do everything with it. And then you have the solution which will be one of these. Okay? So when you go back home, if you want to go back, you will be always able to do that. So does anybody has a Jupyter notebook installed? Or who doesn't have it installed that didn't know that they have to install it? Okay. So see that I cannot install anything with Brave the whole way. Because at the beginning we didn't need it specially. It's just easier to do things, but then I need to know who is working on Windows. Okay, Linux. And Mac AC already. Okay. So the first thing that we start to work with is the basic types of Python.
Maybe a short message about internet access from the organizers. So we will get a Wi-Fi voucher that is around noon, and until then there is either if you own or if you have just 4G on your mobile phone, then you know in Europe there is no roaming fees anymore. So if you then it's
yeah,
it's
the 4G is good because the euro is dead. So
the euro is dead, okay. So so you will get an access code but later, and this morning you can just manage with mobile phone access.
And
one person can serve Wi-Fi for several people are using 4G, so if you can just manage also with your neighbors. So it will be easy.
Anyway, here you know, so I need that Wi-Fi, but you don't need it. We'll manage with the console. So for all of you that start, does anybody know how to start the Python terminal? So when you install it, usually Miniconda, you install it somewhere, and then you should be able to start Python terminal, so in Linux. The only thing that you have to do is type Python and then start with something. So in Linux. So when you start Python terminal, you should have those information. So until that you don't get there, I mean, it's not useful that we start. So is anybody succeeding to run Python terminal in Windows, in Mac? So if somebody has friends, just put their hands up, we will start from there. It's fine.
Python 2.7, does it matter?
Seeing that we don't have internet, it will not matter, but it will be a good use case for the thing that doesn't work in one Python and the other one, like this we can really explain. Okay. Anybody else? We can start. Okay. So usually in a notebook, what's happening is that underneath, you have a Python like this one that is starting, and then whatever you write inside the comments, and when you execute it, it's sending to the kernel, execute it, and put you the results back inside here. So it's an iterative minus. So it's what a notebook is. Okay, it just to explain you, if you go back on the notebook, what actually is happening. So what we do now, seeing that everybody will have a Python terminal version, but maybe not the notebook, we'll work it in the terminal, and we'll just execute by hand this inside the terminal, okay? So the first thing that I want to introduce is the different type that we have in Python. So I will have maybe first 20 minutes, or maybe even maybe only 15, where I will present you a couple of things. And then I will give you some exercise, like this will be more interactive to do stuff. Okay? So the first thing that I want to present is a newer type in Python. So before to start, who already program in one language? Everyone? No? Did you ever program MATLAB, for instance? Yes? There is some C++ programmers? And R, maybe? Okay, yes. So...
Can you increase the fonts of the notebook?
Yeah, excellent.
Thanks.
So, you have many... Yeah, that's not to be a bit so sweet. You have many four types in Python. So the first type that you have is integer. So I think that you in C++ this is ints, and then you declare your variables. And in Python, so you don't have types. Okay, so the only way that you can figure an integer is that you put an integer inside the command line. And if you want to check the type, you can use the command type. And then it will tell you which type of things it is. So for instance, if we take the integer 5, and if we add the type, it will tell us it's an integer. Okay. Then this, I think that you already know, so you can put it inside variables using the equals, and you can make math operations, for instance, and additions. And if you still check the type of I in that case, you will start finding bigger things. Okay, that's something you cannot make it. So for the one that works in C++ and Clavier, or I mean that you care about memory and all those things, it would be interesting to know that the ints in Python are actually on 32 bits. Okay, just I give you a piece of information like that. It's more interesting for the truth afterwards. So in the same way, if you go in the NumPy tomorrow, I think, it's tomorrow or maybe in the afternoon. So maybe you don't have NumPy, but we can play also with the accuracy of all the integers. So here is just to explain why it's called 32 bits. So when you use pure Python, it will be only 30. Every time 32 bits, it's integers. And when you use NumPy, so for instance I bring NumPy, I can have access to different integer types. So for instance, 16, 32, 62, and 8, and then it will use the precisions of the integers. So for instance, I could use 8 bits integers, and this is I. And checking the type of I, in my case, you will have these tensions. So you will never mess up between the types, or if you don't know, you just use the command type, and it will tell you what it is. So, why is it important is that if I have only 8 bits, I can only code 255 values. So if I do 256 and then I check the value of I, then you get something which is weird because I had an overflow, I don't have enough bits to contain the value, and what you have is wrong. Okay? So be careful about what type is underneath, it's this NumPy or pure Python, two Python types. Okay? So this is something which is interesting. Then we have about the same thing with floats. So how to figure floats in Python? It's pretty easy. It's not a comma, it's a point. And this means is a float. Okay. Floats in Python are 64 bits. And in the same manner, you have NumPy types that if you check and type floats. We have over 28, 16, 32, so you can choose the precision. So it's working exactly the same way, okay, than the integers. And if you play one of them, and that you check the type, we have the same things that happen, okay? Then the next type that you can have. So maybe we have physicians and they like complex numbers. So you can play also with complex numbers. So I don't remember how this is in MATLAB. I think that you use I. And here, this is the same, that is 1G. So you don't, you have always to put something at the front. So you have the complex number. And that is 1J. This thing is recognized as the complex number. So then I can create a number by adding the nonlinear part and the imaginary part. Okay, and it will handle everything inside. And then you can also multiply. Then the last type, which is also interesting, is a Boolean. So we always make, I mean, we usually make Boolean operations. So you can check using bigger, smaller, and you have two values which are true and false. They start by capital letters, and that's the only thing that you have to do about it. Okay. So whenever you make a comparison, you will get one of those two out of the comparisons. Okay. So now a couple of operations that you can do, and that is more interesting. So we spoke about like the precisions and the different types. So what you have to think in Python, since that you have no types, you have to think about what will be the implied conversions when you use operations. So if I take two integers and that I make multiplications, so I don't have a point. It means that if I check the type of this, I will get an integer. Okay, that's kind of obvious. But if I give a point here and that I check the type, I get a float. So under the hood, what Python does, you take this one, you will convert it to a float. This one is already a float, and you will make the multiplication between both and return you a non-casted result. Okay. So this is something that you have maybe to think about when you make operations. In C++, you do have that RAM, you always define the type and what you want. Here you have to think what will happen. Okay. Then that will be the cool part, which is what people in Python do. So if I do the divisions in Python 3, I get that. So now, can you try to make a division and tell us what you obtain when you do this?
Zero.
Okay, great. So if you don't have the same Python, it doesn't work the same way. The idea is that in two cases, in Python 2, when you were making these divisions, you are doing the integer division. So I have an integer, I have another integer, I will return you the floor of the two divisions. So I will return you zero. If I want to do that in Python 4, Python 3, still, I use a double division. Okay? Now, to have Python 2 and Python 3, we have the same, because what we do is we try to move from Python 2 to Python 3 and that everything is compatible in the same in both ways, okay? So, yes, a library which is called DOM features, which is, you will import how the statement is working in Python 3, import divisions, okay? And now you can retry after importing this to do the same operation than this one. And then it's working, okay? So when you make some code and that you want to make it compatible to three, you have usually two things to import. Is one, which is this one, and then I will show another one now, is a print. So sometimes you want to print something inside the terminal and you just use the function print. Oops. And I do that, okay? In Python 2, apparently, you could do a statement. So it means that you didn't need to put parentheses. Here, this is a function, because I put parentheses. In Python 2, you were able to do that, which here it doesn't work, because in Python 3, print is a function, okay? So the same way, which is also a kind of logic, you can use the Python 3 versions by doing from feature import print expansion. And if you do that, now whatever when you try to do these things in Python 2, it will raise the same error. So you will be obliged to use the function line. Okay? So until now, does anybody have any questions? Or because I mean that's okay. Yeah.
Another quick question. Do you have a
special? I have no idea.
Here are view.
Okay.
Just as a prompt.
Perfect.
So yeah, otherwise. So we can come back to the divisions. So now that was giving a float. Before in Python 2, if you wanted to trigger a float, you would have a way, because we said that actually you would have conversion under the hood. And one way was to say that one the directors was a float. Okay? So I could use this, and for sure it would work. I would advise you just to use the from import features. Okay? I mean, the import function imports like the divisions, and to actually use what you would do in Python 3. Okay? That's it's already by the point, and then you don't have a confusion to know if it's a float or whatsoever. I mean, you know what it is.
I think it's important to note that you only need this when you're writing code for both Python 2 and Python 3.
It's when you want compatibility between Python 2 and Python 3. You want a user using your code in Python 2 and user using that with different Pythons. Okay. So next things that I will go through is the comparisons. So you can compare numbers together, so we already saw that it could give you some idea. So let's say you can compare that 1 equal equal to 1. And we can make superior equal, okay. And then there's another thing in Python, which is the is statement, okay. So the difference between equal equal and is that is will check the IDs of the object that you work with. Okay, and it will not just check the value that you have, but also check the IDs. So if I take ID 1, it will give me an administrative files, and when I make 1 is 1, what is it doing? Is it checking that the identifier of this guy is equal to the identifier of this other guy. So when you go in objects, you might want to check that an object is exactly that this is the same object, and you will use is and not equal equal. So it's something to know what are the slight differences. So here for the moment we not need it, but that would be interesting at some point. So for instance, here the example of 1,0 is not 1, okay, because 1 is a float, so 1 is will be an integer, so it will not have the same ID. So if I do ID of 1 and I change the ID of 1.0, you will have two different IDs, okay? So the two numbers are different. So if I do 1 is 1.0, it will be false, but if I do 1 is equal to 1.0, that will be true, okay? So this one checks that the two values are the same. This one will check that the two objects, what it is, they have the same address. Okay? Then, what casting? So, maybe it will be interesting to retransform an integer into a float, or a float to an integer, or a string, to something else, to a number. Okay. So, this is pretty straightforward. Use the function, so if you want a float, you use a float function and you can put an integer inside and it will return your float the same way you can use the integer function and you will convert this into an integer. So you have to be careful that it's making prop. If you want, for instance, run, you use a run function, and it will give you what you expect. Okay. An interesting thing is that you can put, we'll see just after what the string, but I anticipate. Imagine that you read some text, and what you obtain is a string. So then you can create float numbers by passing a string into float, and it will automatically convert it to a float. So if you check now the type, it's a float. Okay. So then when you go in the dark, sometimes when you make conversions, you have a pretty fast way of doing conversion and doing like normal way of what you would expect. You want under the function to find some way of this. Okay? Sorry,
do
you have questions?
Is it
going to
depend on the
configuration?
It's working anywhere.
Okay.
So wrong.find.
I include a find. I never used to.find.
What's the question?
If in Python 2.find, if you can do, is this one? That is not working?
It should. That's should. Been around for a while.
Okay.
Did you maybe type a comma instead of a dot or something?
On the tree.
Okay.
That's okay. So in 7 I will continue. So next things, so we start about speak like exactly what strings, so now we'll go in spin. So I will speak about container, because there are different types of containers. So what we call a container, to simplify, is just kind of array where you can put values inside. So a string is an array where in each emplacement you can just put the data, okay? And then it will create a string of characters. So in Python, to do this, you can just use either the double, how do you call this in English?
Quotes.
Quotes, yeah. Quotes, and put your text inside. Or you can use a single quotes. So the interesting part of the double quotes is that, I know, if you get to have inside the sentence, you have a single quote, so you can put a double quote, having a single quote in the middle, and it will be interpreted as a character. And if you have a single quote in the middle, and that you use only single quote, you have a syntax errors, because you consider that you open this, and that you open another one, and then it's not good. So if you want to have a single quote inside, you need to use the double quotes. Okay.
And the other way around.
Yeah, and yeah. So it's how you can handle those things.
When you want to mix quotes.
Yeah, when you want to mix
quotes.
So if you have a sentence concern.
Yeah.
Whatever. So in that case, I cannot use the single quotes to eliminate those ones because I have a single quote inside.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have to mix both.
Yeah, but when we have a sentence having both single quote, double quote,
you use a slash.
Yeah, so you use a Okay, so I said that the container, you put several characters, So we have a container function, which is a short length, which can check the length. So if I have sentence, and that I check the length of this, I will obtain the number of characters that I am imaging. Okay. You can add a new line or those type of characters inside your strings too. It wants to take lines like that. And when you print it, so if I put X, that I put X like this, so you see that I have my characters, and if I use the print statement, it will interpret those characters, so it make a return line. Okay. To access one of the characters inside the string, you can use the, and it will be always the same. When you want to access an element of a container, so now we work with string, you will use the square brackets, and then here, the index of the element that you want. Be aware that for the one that comes from MATLAB, as you know, in R, I think it's the same. We start to come from zero in Python, so that in C, in C++. So if you want the first characters, is zero, X. Okay, and I get the first characters. So we'll start with the thing which are maybe more difficult. Sentences are immutable, which means that the thing that I had before, I cannot put new things inside. So it's something typical from the strings. If I try to say the first thing that I want, it's not possible because I can I can action by objects. Okay, so if you want to make to change something, either you will need to use some function that will see the afterwards, or whereas you need to put you have to do X is equal to your new chain of characters. Okay, because you will not be able to change the X. So now I want you to start to make exercises so that you can find yourself a bit how those things are working. So it's to use the autocompletion. So what I mean by autocompletion, so X is a string, and if you type X points, so because X is actually an object in Python, you will be able to use tabulations twice, and then it will give you always a list of what the function you have. Okay?
Yes? Yeah.
For which part that you cannot? The auto completion? Oh, I think so. No?
No, it doesn't work.
So, for the one which have Python 2 and maybe you don't have those preparations, you might be lucky if you have, so let me check. Yeah, you have something which is called IPython, okay? So, it is a normal Python, but with some extensions which allow you to like easy auto completion and all those things that work for sure. Sometimes it is shipped with Anaconda, if, and if you have Python 2, maybe the documentation doesn't work, but it will work in iPython. So if you find it, then you can... you will have the same auto-operation, and it's even easier because you have a list which is coming from instance. So if you have, if it doesn't work as a completion, you can always go back to iPython. And usually, if you work, use prefer iPython to Python because there are more features. Okay, but today I want you just to make their Python, so I'm using the normal editors. So you can switch to that if in case that auto-operation doesn't work. Okay. So when I say about the leading underscore, what I mean by that is that you can put these things to underscore and then use the auto-completions. Okay. And now you will see that those functions are things which are part of the objects in Python. So they are given things normally to users. But they are defining actually what your object can do. And for instance, we already use length, and we see that this object has underscore underscore length functions, which mean that actually when we call len, it will call this function under the hood. So by using the auto completions, I can know more or less without doing anything, and I don't have internet, I don't have blog. I can still find out which function my object is implementing. So while you're in the middle of nowhere, the highlight, you can still understand which type of object and what you can do with. So the first thing that I was asking is like, okay, check what the multiplications parameters is doing. And if we check the multiplications, I was saying multiplication because we have one relative type. So I think that we will be able to use the star multiplication at some point. If we check also, we have an addition normally. I don't see add, but it should be somewhere. Okay, we have an add function too, so we'll be able to use the press. So now what I want is that I have this x, and I want you to try to run this x multiplied by something and try to see what's happening, okay? And in this case, try to multiply it by an integer. And then you can tell you, okay, what's the operation, what does multiply that? So if somebody succeeds to see what's it, you can just say what you see. So what is the purpose of the multiply with strings?
Repeat the strings and the number of lines.
Okay. So with a string, when you multiply by an integer, it's just repeating the string. Okay. Apparently that's working. So this is a behavior that I mean doesn't make sense very. And then when you think about it, okay, why not? Okay. So it's always good to have to know exactly what those operations are doing on the hood. So in the same way, now I want you to try to make the addition and to tell me what does it does. Okay? If you try to add two strings together, I think we saw that you have an add, so you should have a plus. Okay. So if you extend it like this, you can make x plus x. And then you can tell me what this thing is doing. Okay, so this thing is called concatenation. So if I do x, plus x, then in that case it's like a multiply by 2, but here is adding the first x concatenate with the second of x. Okay? So in this, afterwards, if we check again, the underscore functions, well, plenty of them, and we have some which are equal, and which should have also not equal, so n. If you somewhere, and it will allow us to make comparison between strings. So if I have x, and that I want to check that this is the specific values, I don't remember what was inside, but if I write this, it will tell me this is false, okay? If you make a pretty good character change, the number the same, it's becoming false. In the same way, you have the not equal versus, which is the exclamation equal, which will return to it like this. An interesting thing is the operator in. So if I'm going right here, and it's something specific to the containers because it contains something, you have the contain functions on the top here, and it will allow you to check that the part of an element is inside the container. So for a string, we can actually check that the string is inside. Okay. And how to do that? You write your psi, and I want to check if it's in X, and it will tell me yes. Okay, so you can partially match things using the in operator. Okay. Okay, so the second thing that is interesting, so now we saw the equal function, but before we saw that you can do X, and tabulations, you have a bunch of functions which are coming. Okay? So now the data science is by checking the name there, I ask you to check that inside this string, I want to check that the end of the string is finishing by something. And the second thing that I want is I say that it's not possible to affect the characters, but that you have functions. So I want you to replace inside the string a letter or something like that. Okay, so a letter by a letter. So now, if you check inside this bunch of function, you have two functions that do that, and then like you have 2 minutes to search or 5 minutes to search which one are doing it, and you can try to use it. And because we are here, and that would be useful also, you can always use and check the log using the keyword help. So for instance, if I want to check what the center function is doing, I type help x.center, and it will give me a doc string which explains how the thing is working. So I don't need internet normally to do it. I can do it through the terminal, so it's less nice, but again, if you have no internet, I can say to that. So now comes the X dot, you can check. If you are not sure, you can check which one you think that is working. And you can check the dot and try to use it. Okay? And first task is just to try to modify a character. The other one is to check that the end of the string is corresponding to another string. So you can try that. And if you have any questions, that you want to ask. So. Okay. So if we check, and sort of and with, and if we check the time for that, I think there is how it is working. And now, so x is our hyper string. So when we put the x, we deal also with the web version inside. Okay. So just to be sure what is inside x, I will just read it. So now I can say that, for instance, the world is finishing 5-5, and it will tell me yes. So you have the overweight equipment. Imagine that you have a file name, the file name TXT, if you want to change anything to my TXT. Easy way to say, okay, my file name doesn't end with the TXT, and you go, okay, that's finished. Then for the replace, I didn't say so far, yeah, x dot replace function. And it's to replace the character by another one, so we can say that I want to replace E by a capital E. And that could make the operation in place, so now if I check x, no, that doesn't make the operation in place, that we turn the results. Because you cannot make the inverse operation, it doesn't work. And x, you get now something where you replace the characters, okay? So you can change things inside. Okay, you need something. So now I will start. So I don't need much size for the strings, but I will present the space here, and you see that we will use it afterwards in the lists, where it's much more useful. But let's start there, because it's the same container, yeah?
No question. So the sun, and
you cannot do... You cannot do that in Python because x is immutable, so the string is mutable. So you cannot change an element in the string in place. You need to create a new place, make a copy of it, and change at the time when you construct it. So the replace, what it does is just it's taking a new characters and creating a new string and giving back the object and throw away the one. Okay? So that's how that is working. So it's not. It's immutable because you cannot change anything there. So we'll see after that the list. It's something typically that you can change things inside. So now we use slice. So the slice, you can change the length with the slice. But for the one who comes from, press on my tab, is something that you already used. Which is looking this syntax, okay? So it's like I have an array and I want to change the value from 0 to the 10th by step of 2, so you can start to play with those things, okay? So it means that in this specific case, I could check, so we'll really use this a bit. So that's x, I could check my first characters by asking 0, but I could also check from the third characters, okay, start from 0, to the fifth one by putting the point. So this is start, this is stop, and I could even say that I want to go a little bit more, 2 by 2, okay, and that's the step. Okay, so you can take elements and slice them. So this is called a slice. An interesting thing in Python compared to MATLAB, when I was using MATLAB, is that you can go backwards. So for instance, x minus 1 is defined, it's just that I take the last characters, okay, so from the right. And I can go backwards in that sense, okay?
May I just ask a quick question to Laurent? Is everyone able to follow the examples now, or is anyone still stuck with preparations, or does anyone need help to get there, or is everyone following properly? Okay?
Don't be scared. Thank you. Something goes wrong. Okay. Okay, so you can use minus, and then you can slice also from the beam with the positive numbers and go backwards also, so you can mix together x. So from 0 to minus 2, and then I will be able to take it from the positive, and this one is going from backwards, okay? So you can mix those. I find very convenient that you can do negative instead, that's something that you cannot do everywhere. So what I want now is that under the hood explain what this, because this is going to be also a function, so that's a slice. So the element that allows you to do that in Python is a keyword, and you can find the help using slice. And you see that actually this is a function where you put the start, the stop, and the stay. And maybe in your life sometimes you don't want to use the shortcuts, and you want to use the function. So I want just to show you how to use it. And in that case, to define a slice is exactly the same, and define it in that way. Put it inside the variables. Now if you change the type of SL, it will be a slice. And I can give it to X. Okay, and it will do the job. So now it's exactly the same way here. I would have put here 0, 2 points, minus 1, column 2. Okay? Then if you want to escape one of them in these functions, you can use the keyword none to say I don't have anything to give, and that would be none. And it will just use like if you are escaping it. So if I do this, it would be equivalent to 0.2.2. Okay? It's just a keyword to tell you that you need to put a keyword, and none is like nothing. And in the short one, is like you don't put anything. Okay? That's the equivalence. Okay, so now, do you have any question on the string? Now we go on the lists. So if you have something related to the string, that's not here. But I didn't explain well. No? Fine. So now the list. So lists are cool. So we saw string is just to put characters. Lists are something where we can put anything inside, and moreover we can mutate them. So it means that you can make in-place sentence and add some stuff inside and this kind of things. So you can have again the help of the list in help, and you have a bunch, lot of all. For instance, you have all the underscores, the leading underscore function, to know why it is implemented. But since that is a container, as a string, you will have some similarity, okay? And then you have changes that are just typical of the list. So let's start with this. So this is working that way. You can use the square bracket to define the list, okay? And now, this would be an empty list. I have nothing inside. So if I check this, and then check it, yeah, I have an empty list. If I check the type, that's a list. Okay? Python controller. So we can have empty list. That's already something that you can know. And then we can put some stuff inside. Okay? So let's start to make integer list like what was above. And I can put 1, 2, 3, 4. And if I check now my list, okay, I have numbers inside. So the type will be also list. And now what I want is so that you can train with a style that we just saw before. So first for fun, try to get the first element of the list, try to get the second element from the end of the list, and then try to get the third and the fourth element of this list. Okay, so just as practice, you can try to do that. Okay? So it should work exactly the same way that we saw with the string. So it's return now. Okay? So if you have any question, you can use it. Try to ask. So the slice will not show you the middle one. So in the way that I will do from 0 to 4. Okay. So that's the slice.
Yeah, sure.
So you said that if this is the same as.
Yeah, so the slice 7 for 1 to 4 is the same information as 1 to 3, 4. This is okay, maybe it's a different slice, so nothing.
I'm confused with a question, so.
Yeah, so
if you can show me, I mean. Okay, so does anybody have questions? I will do it, but for that? Sorry? Okay, so it means that to get so this was this one. So to get the first element is zero. To get the second element from the one minus two. And to get the third element, so it will be 0.2 to the force. So how do you get the force in that case? Do I put 4 or do I put 5? 3? Okay. If I put 3, I get a number only. So it means that I got the number 3. So I got only the third element. Okay. Why that? Because if you check the n, and I think this is something important to remember, because maybe it's not the same as the language. These things, the curly brackets, mean that the stuff here is excluded. Okay? So when I say 2 to 3, it will take only the 2, and it will not take the third one. So if I want to take the third one, I need to put force, and it will exclude the first one. So I will have only 2 and the index 2 and 3. It's something to remember that every time, even in NumPy, when you can NumPy check if the last element is included or not by checking the dots. Okay. So if I want to have two elements, I put this one, and now I have my two elements. So because the force will be, so it's two, index two, index three, and the first one will be included. Okay. Okay, so now what I want is that we already saw that we have the length function. So I want that you use in the same way than what we did before. This, I want you to just using the autocompression find a function which counts a specific element inside the list. So for example, I said that we want to count how many number twos we have. Okay. So you can check which function to do that. And you can tell me which one does that because it's obvious. No? Count?
Yeah.
Right? And then from count, we can ask and say, okay, the number two here appear one times. Then, what I'm saying now is that we can maybe append the value. So we have our list and we add a new value inside. And we'll add a new value too, just to see how our function is working. I mean, it's working like what we expect a lot. So find a function inside that, which makes appending, first thing, the first function. And you can add stuff with it, okay? So it means that I take my list and that I want to add the new values. So let's say 2 because I want to put afterwards. I forgot for this. And I tap enter. And now that I'm checking my list, I have appended a number of other list. Okay? So if I check my count, now I'm counting that there is 2. Okay. So if you want to add a new element, keep in mind, append is one of the functions that you pray up to use a lot. Okay. There's another interesting function which is sort up there. So if I have a list, so I can use it now just to show you. And that I ask sort function. And that I check my list. It just in place, okay, so the same list in place, move the two departments at the position that it should be. Okay. What else you have inside that is interesting? Pop. So pop is also something interesting because I know you want to remove a specific. So what I just ask now is, okay, the I want to pop free, so you check, he's popping free, and then if I check my list, he removes it. And in the same time, he returns with the value. So for instance, you want to go inside your list and just pop numbers, okay, so you can do it. And just getting the element, and at the same time, he's removing from your list. So then you have a bunch of options that you can check the dog string every time. So you can remove inserts, and they're all different, slightly different from each other. So that's something. All those functions, they are specific from the list. So we saw with the string that end with, start with, replace, they are specific for the string. List, they are those specific functions. Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
For Appen, you have just one input argument, yeah?
Yeah.
If you want to add a list, for example, to another, without, for example, Appen two or more than two arguments, what would you do?
Okay, I know if it's maybe the next question. Or did it?
But just using Appen, not add.
I mean, what you will use usually is you will do the concatenations.
Okay,
I mean, I will do the concatenation.
Okay.
Then, if you try... What would happen if I do that? I mean, what are you... I will not execute it. I don't do it. So, I have this list here. What would happen if I try to append? I mean, the list with a mistake inside, but what are you for? I mean, what would happen if I try to do that?
It will add the next set. As
so,
a set.
We have 1, 2, 2, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3?
No,
bracket. No, bracket. So, what you do is that you will add, you will consider that this is an element, and you will add it in the next piece. Okay? So if we check this, now, you have a list inside the list, so it means already that you can make 2D lists. Okay, if you need something that are 2D, you can do something like that. And it means that if I want to access it, if I click minus 1 to access the last element, what you return me is a list. Okay, so append, you append all the chunk inside. So if you want to add element by element, what you would do is, for instance, use a plus equal, which is in place add, so it's equivalent to say that plus so in that case is what you were wanted to do, okay? So it's with a plus. So I can use either the list equal plus new things or the short things is use plus equal. Okay.
It's not entirely the same thing though. Because when you use plus equals, then it does in place modifications where it changes the list. If you say int list equals int list plus something, and it actually creates a new list, so it creates a copy. And it does not modify the list itself.
Yeah.
What about concatenate?
This function concatenate?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I mean, that's possible.
I couldn't find it.
This one should have it here.
I don't have a function concatenate.
You don't have it.
Because, I mean, I know that in NumPy I use it, so you can concatenate stuff.
Yeah.
But here you will use for a Docker test track to do that. I mean, what I would use. But,
so there is an extend method, though, which...
Yeah, which expand, yeah.
Which adds multiple elements to the list.
So that's the thing, actually.
So that's kind of the append multiple operation.
Yes, so you can use stack threshold. So you can give an iterator and if we agree with it, send it. So then the next thing that is interesting with the list is that you can have any type of data inside. So you are not on for the moment, we just try, I mean, already cannot be, but we put integers, but actually what we did is just to put a list inside the list. But to make it more obvious, what you can try is to try to add inside the list some string. And you will see that this is still working. Okay. So we can try. Write a string. And now I just concatenate it. And if we wanted to append it. We have something like that. So here I just added character by characters, and here I just added the container itself, which is my string. Okay. So it means that we can add whatever type we want, so we can have floats and integrate the same things. So it's pretty convenient for some type of things. And if you search, but it might be not the most efficient for some programming. Like, for instance, if you work only with numbers, you probably better to go with some numpy arrays where you only want a single type, you cannot change, but it would be more efficient memory wise and also to access the element inside and those kind of things.
Is this function working differently in the Python versions?
I really expect that. No.
Which Python version do you have?
No, I did that type version.
Okay. Because he would, I don't, do you have any true or? Okay. So I already spoke about the sorted, but you can tell me if, yeah, that's not work, right? We can use the sorted version. So we use already the int list.sort. And we saw that that was doing modifying x directly. Okay. And another way of doing it, but not changing our list itself, is to use the function sorted. So I'm going to do a sorting, but this one will return something. Then when we did int list.sort, it just resort my list also. You sorted this one, okay? So if I do that, I'm sure that it will give me an error. Okay. Which it's kind of obvious why, because now we have like a lot of things inside, and the thing that is say I cannot make comparison between the list and the integer. So we try to make, because when we sort, we try to check if it's bigger or smaller and move the element. So now you're just telling me that actually I don't know how to make a comparison between this and this. So it's not magic too. I mean, it's now you're on your own, so you should have stuff that you know what you want to read, what you want to do. So we can restart with a nice so things like this list, and if I do sort it, just to illustrate like here the small difference, this one return a list. And if I check my original list, it didn't check, okay? And when we are doing dot sort, and I am checking int list. So first, here, nothing is written, okay? Here, when I executed it, return values. And here it happens, int have already the results, okay? So usually when you use dots and name of the functions, you modify the variable itself, when it's zero. And otherwise, when you use a function, it will already usually return user function, return user values. Okay. So that's this part. We already played with the appending. I think that we already saw that. So if I use the plus, we saw that that's doing a complete definitions. If I do the multiply, what do you expect? If I take a list, for instance, this list here, and that I make times 3, is it making a bitwise multiplication? Is it multiplying each number by 3? Or do you expect that it's doing, like this thing? Okay, that's making the computations. So somehow it makes sense. I said that the string was a container. Both are containers, both behave the same. So in some way, it's not making something new strange. If you want to have this, and that is multiplying every number, sorry, go in the NumPy tomorrow, and I'm not sure how to do that. Okay? And but in two Pythons, this will just be replicated. In the same way here, we can have the in, okay, that's what led the string, so I can ask if 2 was in the int list. Okay, and it's telling me 2 or false in the same way. So now that's a small exercise for you. So create a list with the previous month of the years, and then you can append 1 month, and then you can add inside May and June. Okay. So you start with 3 months, then you append 1 year, and then you add 2 more. Okay. So we have 2 minutes to play with that. Let's go. Any questions? Anybody have any questions on that, or it's fine? So I can do the first part, which is just creating the list. Okay. X is equals, and then I create 3 strings, which are the 3 first months of the year. And then I would like to append a new only value inside, so I can call the function append. Value that came out there, and then I can make concrete names things inside. Okay, so I put May and Roma. And if I check, okay, is what we did back since ending. So everybody have a question that something like strength happened or. Okay, now we can go to what is tuple. So now we saw the list. And usually the main thing is that we know about tuples. So we saw that the list are mutable, but that you can put values. Tuples are known as an immutable list. Okay? So it's like we want to create, we want to put several elements inside, but we don't want to be able to change them. where it's usually used in that way. So I want to create them to be pretty. We can call x for upper and then put our list of elements. And now if I check what's the type of x, okay, it's a tuple. So when I say that it's immutable, it means that I the string, if I try to do this, it will tell me tuple of x doesn't support item assignment. So it means that I cannot change it. Okay? So that's what would happen. So that could be useful, for instance, if you want to create the months and you will never change the months of the year, so you can create. I will just use this here. And you don't want people to be able to modify anything in the months, and you will use the tuple for that. Just so usually I say that we use the tuple for this reason, we don't want to change something, but sometimes we want also to use it to unpack the parameters. So imagine that I have a tuple in that way. You could be able to get the three values of the tuple in three different variables using this line. So I can say I have those three values here, and I want to unpack each of them inside param 1, param 2, param 3. Okay. So doing this, then if I check param 1, I have the value of the first element in the tuple. So I could unpack element by element. So that could be also used for this. Okay.
And that's actually the more common use case for tuples. It's more common than in the month example. Personally, I would rather use a list because lists tend to represent a sequence of similar of items that are kind of the same, right? So numbers, for example, or month names, you would keep those in a list. For a tuple, tuples you would rather use if you have a sequence of different things, right? So first index is something different from the second, and they're distinguished by their index. So a list of similar things and a tuple of different things.
I agree. And but usually we always say it's an immutable list, but usually you don't need for the same values. But so that's it. Then I have a small puzzle. So I will just record what we already saw. So we saw that if I do that, we saw that when we create a list, we can assign the values inside. And we saw also that if I have a tuple and I try to modify something, it's not working. So now as a one-time exercise, if I have a tuple where I have a list inside, and what I will try to do is to take the element here and try to append the value. What would happen? I mean, what are the first thoughts? Won't work. Okay, that seems logic because that's a tuple here. But I mean, it should raise an error. So let's see. Okay, so it raised an error. That's already something. But the fun part, I mean, it's just because I find it fun. If you check then x, small x, actually it failed, but we append the element inside. So we make both, which is something kind of weird. So then if you think about what Python could have done is, what we did is we took the list, we had things, we tried to place it back inside the tuples, and then it fell at that point. So we make both operations, even if we raise errors, we append the value before. Okay, so it's just something that I won't find, and that I want to show you, so I don't know. So it's good that it's failing because at least normally you will not make a try except, or I know you will try not to continue your work. Okay? But it's good to know what fighting. So I think it's, I have two types more of containers. So one is a set. So for the people that maybe make some maps, that's interesting because the set allows you to make fast set operations, so union, difference, and those type of things, which I'm not going to explain. But so you can create set in that way, and what could happen is that you would take only the unique values of this, and then when I have two sets, I can make this class. I can create another set with only one value, and then I can say set dot x dot d. Then here you have the different things that you can do with a set. So differences, intersection, union, so just for examples, you can do the difference between S2 and S, and you will, because I have C in S, it will return me S2 without C. Okay? So if you have something that you want to make fast, some fast set operations, you have something specific in Python. So here I was showing that you can check if it's a subset or intersections. So the last thing which is interesting in Python is the dictionary. And I think probably with the month example is maybe the best thing that you wanted to use, because you want maybe interesting to map the months to actually the number of the months. So you could create a dictionary, and the dictionary is just a kind of mapping between a key. It should be immutable, okay, that you cannot change, with a certain value. So to create this, the syntax is the following. You get your key, so you have curly brackets, you get your key, 2 points, and the value. And then if I want second element, the key, 2 points, and the value. So if I do that, then that's the dictionary here. And to access one of the elements is also a container. So I can use the square bracket. And now I can search my key. Okay? So my key were generally. So I can search generally. And it will return me the corresponding values. Okay? So like this, you can make fast mapping. And if you check the function of D, yeah, items, key, and values, which could be probably something that you can usually use, which if I check what item, it will return one by one a set of elements. So it will return me the key and the value of the first thing that I have in the dictionary, and then you will return me the second, and then you can have the same things for if you check, you can only get the keys if you want, or you can only get the values. Okay? So that's the thing that the dictionary will use. And we'll see afterwards that with the for loop, you can easily untype values to a key and things and loop over all the elements with the dictionary, for instance. That's what it is useful for. We'll see afterwards. Okay. So you can add a new item inside the dictionary because the dictionary is in the world. So you can say March, 2043. And now you can add a new things. Okay. So you just pass new things inside. Or you can even, here I put an example. You can create another dictionary, and you can use the function update to update the dictionary with another dictionary. Okay? So, like that. Okay, that's a bit individual. Do you have any question with that? Okay, so that was all the basic types. So now I can go.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing? For the break, right? So now we can take a break.